Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden, and in today's episode we'll be discussing what the Church does and doesn't say about women's health and how women can get the best health care possible without compromising their Catholic faith. My panelists today are Dr. Blaise Milburn, an OBGYN and NAPRO-trained surgeon practicing in Steubenville, Ohio; Laura Ducote, a certified family nurse practitioner, Creighton model practitioner, and medical consultant from Birmingham, Alabama; and Dr. Teresa Hilgers, an OBGYN at the world-renowned St. Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you all for joining me. Now, before we begin, a viewer advisory. So we're going to be talking about procreation and human physiology in today's show, and we know that the topics discussed aren't suitable for all audiences. So viewer discretion is advised. And remember, you also can view this episode later with EWTN.com/on-demand or on the free EWTN app. And also, while we're speaking with medical professionals, the information shared is not meant to serve as medical advice, nor is it intended to diagnose or treat any illnesses. So please speak with your doctor directly to discuss treatment options, and we'll tell you how to do that today. So let's just dive right in. Dr. Milburn, we'll start with you. The Catholic Church's teaching on contraception, sterilization, and abortion are quite clear. They are not allowed. And Pope Paul VI spoke about this in his papal encyclical Humanae Vitae and called them, quote, absolutely excluded as lawful means of regulating the number of children. So how then does a practicing Catholic like yourself approach healthcare in the field of obstetrics and gynecology when those methods are so common?
I thought I was going to be a pediatrician initially when I started medical school, and 15 minutes into shadowing a pediatrician, I knew I couldn't do that. So I heard about the Pope Paul VI Institute, at the time it was called that, and Dr. Hilger's work probably in college. And I think that planted a seed in my mind, and little by little that worked on me. And I kind of revisited the idea of going into OBGYN as I went through medical school. And being a practicing Catholic, I knew there were certain things I couldn't be a part of. And I was able to kind of get through medical school without much issue. And then I got trained at a residency in Buffalo at Sisters Hospital, and Dr. Pepperinus, Dr. Stripmatter were my two residency program directors, and they're wonderful Catholic men. And they created an environment and a program where we could get trained with really a minimum of hassle. So I was able to get through that and really gain expertise and really not have to face those challenges. So I was fortunate in that regard. And then I went to the Pope Paul VI Institute and got trained in NAPRO technology. And that really equipped me to then do the work that I've been doing for the last 6 years out of practice. But I mean, our approach to the patient, we really have to view them as children of God and view them with their inherent dignity and treat them as such. And that really informs every little interaction that we have with our patients and with our staff members. So it really goes beyond just what we don't do. And it's really how we actively treat people on a daily basis and do our work. And so I don't like to call myself NFP only or view myself as someone that doesn't do these things. I want to call myself a Catholic. I want to, and that means so much more. And it really embraces all the positive views of the human person. And that's really how I approach my work. And I must admit, whether it's a Catholic or a non-believer or another Christian or whoever, they really appreciate that perspective of being treated that way. It's much more holistic and in line with their inherent dignity.
It is all about the human dignity. And that's what we hope people understand as we're talking about the Catholic Church's teaching on women's reproductive health, is that we're not just treating a woman as a set of reproductive organs, that she's a whole person, she has dignity, and that the Church's teaching on contraception, sterilization, abortion are not really a no, but they're a greater yes. And so, Laura, while the Catholic Church clearly forbids all of that, especially contraception, that doesn't mean that couples are left without options for health care and for family planning. Paragraph 16 of Humanae Vitae states, quote, if therefore there are well-grounded reasons for spacing births arising from the physical or psychological condition of husband or wife or from external circumstances, the Church teaches that married people may then take advantage of the natural cycles imminent in the reproductive system and engage in marital intercourse only during those times that are infertile, thus controlling birth in a way which does not in the least offend moral principles. Again, that's paragraph 16 of Humanae Vitae. So tell us then what natural family planning is and how it differs from contraception and how it is licit for Catholic married couples to use.
Yeah, thanks, Debbie. So natural family planning is going to be a scientifically based way for families to be able to utilize the fertile and infertile periods of a woman's menstrual cycle. Natural family planning is basically education, teaching us about our bodies and these signs of infertile and fertile periods so that you can use that information responsibly for whatever the needs are for your family. The difference there is with the church's teaching that we are allowed to use this because it is still ordered towards unity and life, the procreative and the unitive, that it's a reflection, that the marital act is a reflection of our marriage vows, that it is a renewal of those vows every time. It's total, it's free, it's fruitful, and it's faithful. And anytime that you're placing any sort of contraception into that act, you are essentially cutting out one of those pieces or both. So cutting out, say with contraception, a barrier type method, obviously that, you know, if we just think about that, that's taking away the unitive aspect of the marital act. If we look at hormonal contraception or other forms of hormonally altering the woman's natural rhythms, her natural ovulation, then we're looking at that taking away the procreative aspect of that marital act. And so in natural family planning, you are not doing anything that is directly going against the possibility of life. You're not directly going against the unitive aspect of the marital act. And I think just going back to what you were saying a second ago with Dr. Milburn, you know, our Lord is a good father. Like, he wants always what is best for us. He's not giving us a less than option. He's giving us something that is what's best for us. And he's giving us these guardrails to safeguard this amazing intimacy that we have in marriage. And so it's just, you know, a beautiful aspect that we have in the church to be able to, you know, have this gift.
Exactly. And Paul VI also in Humanae Vitae says that one of the problems with contraception is that it runs the risk of reducing a woman to being an object of pleasure. And so when we remove contraception from the equation, then we're realizing that women and men together in that union of marriage are not objects, but they are persons that have dignity and should be respected. And now, Dr. Hilders, natural family planning isn't just for couples who are trying to become pregnant or trying to space out their pregnancies. This is the fascinating part about NFP. It's also used to assist doctors in diagnosing diseases, deficiencies, and abnormalities. So can you tell us what that looks like and how it works?
Yeah, I think this is one of the exciting things about natural family planning. First, with natural methods, there's different types of natural methods, and they look at the menstrual cycle in different ways. They target the cycle with different biomarkers. Some methods are geared towards teaching couples how to avoid pregnancy, others towards achieving and avoiding pregnancy. And then there are some that allow medical applications. And so I utilize, for example, the CREATE model fertility care system. And what we are able to do is, with the standardized terminology and the objective measures that are used to describe the woman's menstrual cycle, the doctors can then utilize those charts and see what abnormalities might arise. There are different bleeding patterns that are associated with hormonal abnormalities, for example. Different bleeding patterns that might also tip you off that maybe the woman is also suffering from premenstrual syndrome. There are signs on the chart that also give us ideas as to causes for infertility, recurrent miscarriage, things like that. And the reason why this is so important is because the menstrual cycle for women is very dynamic. So I tell women all the time, our hormones change throughout the cycle. Our hormones are not stable and they change throughout. And you have to have a very solid understanding of when those hormones are present at different parts of the cycle. When is ovulation likely to occur? Things like that. And that allows us to then evaluate whatever the gynecologic issue is by utilizing the chart to help us diagnose and then eventually treat whatever the underlying medical condition is. And we can do this in ways that offer very low side effects, and we can treat conditions in ways that are actually improved and better than hormonal contraceptives, for example. And so if anything, I think the use of, for example, the CREATE model has allowed us to continue to work on advancing women's healthcare. Our goal should be really to provide the best medicine that we can for patients. And we can do that without hormonal contraception. And the charting is so important to our ability to do that.
And it sounds like with charting, if a woman is using hormonal contraception, that the hormones that are artificially pumped into her body would impact the ability to accurately read or observe what is happening in the woman's body. And also, Dr. Hilders, your father was so instrumental in the development of NFP and teaching women how to chart. So tell us about the great Dr. Thomas Hilders.
Yeah. No, so my father is Dr. Thomas Hilders. He's an amazing human being, but he felt called to really dig into the natural methods because of Humani Vitae. So Humani Vitae is the reason that he read that and was instantly converted to everything that was written in that document. And so he, and eventually with my mother, started working first in the pro-life movement, but then really trying to figure out how can we help in the natural, in the world of natural methods. And they began with some research projects, and between the two of them and two nurses in St. Louis, Diane Daly and Ann Preble, they developed the CREATE model. And it was because these women were initially charting their cycles to either achieve or avoid pregnancy. My father had them all chart. When they came to him with medical conditions, what he realized is the chart was telling him something that had never been seen before. The chart was telling him where to go with his evaluation and his in order to properly diagnose these women and treat them. And from that, NAPRO technology was born. And it's only because really, truly, my father decided that he was going to honor the teachings of the church and use that to really better his understanding of the natural methods and therefore understanding of the menstrual cycle and the medical applications for women's healthcare.
What a beautiful call that he had answered, and what amazing work that he has done that is still continuing today and still advancing today. And Dr. Milburn, as an OBGYN, you specialize in treating some of the really difficult diagnoses for women, like polycystic ovaries, irregular cycles, endometriosis, pelvic pain, and painful periods, just to name a few. And conventional medicine would tend to prescribe hormonal contraceptives for endometriosis or painful periods, or in vitro fertilization for couples who are experiencing infertility or recurrent miscarriages. So for Catholic women who want to abide by the church's teachings, are they going to be subject to subpar health care if they pursue options that don't include contraception or IVF?
No, the healthcare is far superior. And what we try to do in NAPRO technology is to get to the underlying cause of the problem. We try to get a diagnosis for the patient. Most women that come to me for fertility, they come with a diagnosis of unexplained infertility, which is not a diagnosis when you think about it. Unexplained, obviously, they didn't find anything. And infertility, well, that's a symptom of a problem. Something's causing the infertility. And it's up to the doctor to find out what that is. But in conventional medicine, there really is no investigation. I've had women that come to me having seen a doctor for IVF and literally no labs or imaging, no investigation whatsoever was proposed to those women. They just were initially offered IVF. In fact, I'm shocked when there is any type of laparoscopy offered, which is a minimally invasive surgical option. I'm shocked when something like that is either done or even offered. It's so incredibly rare. Really, there's a minimum of investigation that's done, and then women are immediately shuttled to IUI and IVF, and they go from there. And what we try to do in NAPRO technology is we try to find the underlying cause of the problem. So we try to get women that diagnosis. Contraceptives do not assist in that. They are shutting off the menstrual cycle, in essence. And really, the menstrual cycle is telling you that there's something wrong. You don't want to shut it off. The menstrual cycle is not the enemy. It's a normal physiologic process in a woman. It's the way God designed women. They were meant to have a menstrual cycle every month. Contraceptives shut that off completely, really shut off a woman's brain so that her brain no longer signals her ovaries, and the ovaries don't work. They don't signal the uterus, and that whole cycle is completely shut off. So contraceptives do nothing besides cover over a problem and really prevent a diagnosis from being achieved and proper treatment from then being initiated. So when women come to see us, we actually try to treat the underlying source of the issue. And then once that is discovered and treated, lo and behold, women feel better, their health is restored, and their fertility is greatly enhanced.
It seems like it should be a no-brainer to work with a woman's body, but that's not what we're dealing with right now in conventional medicine. And in fact, Laura, case in point, growing up, it seemed like a lot of the girls around us were prescribed birth control for painful periods, in unbearable cramps, heavy bleeding, and acne. And for a parent who doesn't want their daughter to suffer, birth control might seem like a merciful option. Oh, because our daughters are suffering so much and they're in so much pain and the acne is embarrassing. But based on what Dr. Milburn said, it sounds like that's a huge problem. And what is the problem, both short-term and long-term, when we're giving young girls hormonal contraception?
Yeah, we're just really doing these girls a disservice when that is the route. You know, it can seem like a merciful option, as you said. It can seem like a quick, easy fix to these symptoms that are, you know, sometimes really, you know, life-altering. But at the same time, if we don't ever give them the answers, we're just kind of covering something up. We're actually doing them a great disservice by not even allowing them to have this cycle data to even chart their cycles. When they're on some sort of hormonal contraception, they can't track these symptoms that give us signs of health. Ovulation is a sign of health. It's our fertility is a gift, it's not a disease. And so shutting it all down, it's basically allowing, as you mentioned, the long term, for these things to go under the radar because we've suppressed it for so many years. And then once they're ready to maybe have children, they're deciding to come off of it. And then we're realizing that all of these things that we could have diagnosed back when they were a teenager were so far behind. Like, we've missed all of those years to work on that. You know, insulin resistance is one we see often. You know, endometriosis, as Dr. Milburn was saying, all of those things, you know, over time just get worse. And so if we're not addressing it when they're a teenager and they're getting these little symptoms, so much easier to treat it when it's so in those early phases. But when we see them a decade later, we've just had so much lost time that this, you know, this is proper medical evaluation and treatment.
And I wonder how many women today are struggling with infertility, and it could have been a different story had they known that this technology existed. And Dr. Hildreth, when Pope Paul VI came out with Humanae Vitae in 1968, many people thought that the church was going to change its stance on birth control, but obviously it didn't. And that was seen as really controversial, to say the least. But really for Catholics, it was a call to arms. So tell us about some of the pastoral directives that St. Paul VI made in Humanae Vitae, not just for doctors, but also for scientists and priests and the laity, and how they responded, like your dad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Humanae Vitae was really in some ways revolutionary because everyone did think the church was going to change its position on birth control. There's a birth control commission, and then Humanae Vitae came out and actually the church held steadfast. And that really shocked a lot of people. And there are a lot of people who actually didn't agree and they dissented. And there are many people who didn't support Humanae Vitae, but there were some who really did and really fought for it. And within Humanae Vitae, it's actually a very beautiful document. I would encourage everyone to read it. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you're in high school, college, if you're a young married couple, or if you're, you know, you're on the, you know, kind of towards the end of life, it doesn't matter. It's just a beautiful document, how it talks about love and life. But within that document, there were pastoral directives that asked different groups of people to really help and participate and help couples in their in this part of their lives. And two of those groups were men of science and doctors and nurses. And one of the things that St. Paul VI recognized is that we didn't have great research into natural methods at that point. There was actually very little research. There was some, but there was much that we needed to know. And he also understood too that we didn't have great ways of helping couples then. So he asked men of science, please do research, get to the bottom of these issues. We need to help these couples. And to doctors and nurses, he actually asked them, like, you need to be very proficient in the menstrual cycle and the understanding of this medicine. Like, you need to understand this so well that you are able to guide couples appropriately. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about Humani Vitae. Not only does it help hold steadfast in the church's teaching, but it gives us guidelines. Hey, go forth and, you know, let's learn more about this. Let's solve these problems that were present and still are present in some ways. Interesting thing, when I was a medical student, I actually learned to become a crate model fertility care practitioner. And I was one of the first couples I taught how to chart their cycles. I remember having this very vivid thought that I understand the menstrual cycle more just by teaching this couple and going through the training than I ever was taught as a medical student. Because actually, for medical students and other medical professionals, our actual training and teaching of the menstrual cycle is very poor. Very little time is spent on the physiology of the menstrual cycle. And so we really need to be better in that. And my dad, you know, that's what spoke to him when he read Humani Vitae. He was like, the men of science and doctors and nurses, he was a fourth year medical student. He was interested in research. And that really called to him where he felt, I can really do something about this. And he often jokes, he goes, I didn't know I was gonna be the only OBGYN doing something back then, because most OBGYNs were very opposed to the teachings of the Humani Vitae. Most OBGYNs at the time, not all, but most, were very strongly pro-contraceptives, pro-abortion, all of that. And so my dad really felt like, you know, he was being called to do more. And we're actually all called to do more. You know, so I just think it's a really beautiful document. It gives us so many tools, and we just have to really be there to support these couples and women, especially the couples as they build their families, to really guide them and give them the tools to, you know, be responsible parents.
I'm glad that you mentioned that we all have a duty, because in paragraph 26, Paul VI says he hopes that married couples themselves will often desire to communicate their own experience to others. And surely among all the forms of Christian apostolate, it's hard to think of one more opportune for the present time. So we all have an obligation to work to promote that true dignity of the woman and true healthcare that respects the dignity of the human person. Dr. Milburn, you are one of those doctors who has responded to that call. What's the feedback that you're getting from women when you address their problems with Napro technology?
Overwhelmingly positive, whether they're Catholic, non-Catholic, what have you. I mean, I don't even really get into the religious aspect of the patient. I mean, they're just so incredibly appreciative of just a doctor who's listening to them and actually trying to get down to the source of the issue and giving them a why as to what they're... the reason for why they're experiencing what they are, because no doctor seems to want to do that, unfortunately, with contraception being so prevalent in our field of medicine. And so we try to do that. We try to get down to the source and give them that explanation. And so this is what has been ailing you all of this time. And even if it doesn't result in a baby, that we can't guarantee that, unfortunately, with every infertile couple that we see, we greatly enhance their ability to conceive and carry to term. And they get closure as to, okay, this is what has been the problem all along, that they weren't crazy, that they did know there was something wrong, that everyone around them was telling them, oh, that's fine, that's just how I was, and that's it. They knew something was off. And finally, they sought care from a physician that actually tried to give them an explanation and appropriate treatment. And so they're incredibly appreciative of that. And it's a very rewarding work. It really is. It's very rewarding.
Well, you're changing lives and you're helping couples participate in the creation of life too, which is so awesome. And now, Laura, we're starting to wind down the show. So for women who are experiencing troublesome symptoms, maybe they don't even realize that their symptoms are troublesome, like fatigue, acne, mood swings, heavy periods, weight gain, even irritable bowels. What are the steps that they should take to move toward healing? And what advice would you give them for talking to their doctors about these issues?
Yeah. So I think first, maybe just that awareness piece. You know, as you mentioned, they may not even realize that some of the things that they're experiencing are abnormal. And so starting to learn to chart those cycles, starting to work with a trained natural family planning instructor would be able to teach you what's normal. You know, they'd are also typically trained in knowing the patterns to look for if a medical referral is needed. And so, you know, just going to a trusted source to say, teach me what's normal about my body. We're not given this information as we should be when we're young. And so many of my ladies are, you know, coming to me in their 30s, sometimes even early 40s, and being like, why was this not taught to me? And so I think just the information starting there, and then you'll be able to see if there is something abnormal. If you're already aware, you know, if there is the awareness that something is off, then I think just finding, you know, someone similar to the people that are on the panel right now, you know, a NAPRO-trained or restorative reproductive medicine provider, to be able to start actually getting a proper evaluation and diagnosis and treatment for those things that are not going to involve anything that's going to cover up a sign of health for you, that are going to work cooperatively with your body. But there's so many of us that are around the country at this point, and telemedicine is becoming more common. So I think that there should be options pretty much no matter where you are.
Exactly. You are worthy of finding healthcare that respects your dignity as a human person and that cooperates with God's design for your body. I can't believe it. That's all the time that we have for today. If you enjoyed this discussion, you can watch even more episodes of The Catholic Sphere on our online streaming platform. It's ewtn.com/on-demand or on the free EWTN app. And if you know a woman who would benefit from listening to this episode or watching this episode, make sure that you share it with them as well. Dr. Blaise Milburn, Laura Ducote, Dr. Teresa Hilgers, thank you again for being with me today. And thank you for joining too. We'll see you again next week right here on The Catholic Sphere.